Religion, even an evangelical church, can be a safe place, it seems, for hiding from God. And God knows those who are hiding from Him in church.
Welcome to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you've joined us. And Colin, it seems like church would be one of the last places you would expect to see someone hiding from God. So how do people do that?
Well, the fact is that we do, that is one of the most common ways of hiding from God. And perhaps the reason why it's one of the most common ways is that it's easy to get the idea that if we are in some kind of religious service or religious routine or organization, that God will thereby be pleased with us. That gets us off the hook from ever actually having to come seriously to terms with the claims that He's laying on our lives. It's fascinating to me, Steve, in the Old Testament particularly, anyone who had the idea that God was interested in religion and that He was pleased by it would be making a big mistake. I mean, to obey is better than sacrifice was one of the great themes. Early on in Isaiah, you have God speaking about how tired He is of all this trampling through the courts and all these people showing up for religious services. And yet at the heart of it, there isn't justice, there isn't humility, and so forth and so on. So it's very easy to get into a routine of saying, well, I'm a church person. God must be pleased with me. Well, the Bible would indicate that that's a very, very dangerous assumption.
Well, and even in looking at the New Testament, you look at who are the people that Jesus himself went after the most, and that was the religious or church people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees.
The Pharisee in the temple, and he's praying away, and he thinks that everything's right because he's praying, but his whole prayer is an expression, actually, of his continued rebellion against God, because it's all about himself. And here's this other person who comes, and he'd be despised by everyone else, but he's genuinely been humbled, and Christ says, well, now he's the one who's going to go home forgiven, not the other man who was in the temple every day.
Well, we're currently in a message entitled Restore People, so I hope you'll open your Bible and join us in Isaiah chapter 65 as we continue the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
What kind of religion offends God? And I want you to see that that's precisely what God is speaking about through the prophet Isaiah right here in this chapter. Ready? Here we go. Six forms of religion that are offensive to God. Isaiah chapter 65. Number one, I'm going to call it hypocritical religion. And I'm looking at verse 2, where God speaks about obstinate people who walk in ways not good. So here are religious folks. You may have met some of them. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. That's number one, hypocritical religion. Here's a second form of religion that is offensive to God. I've called it personalized religion. I'm still looking at verse 2, where God describes people who in their religion, he says, are following their own imaginations. Notice that phrase in verse 2. Now, following your own imaginations means you just assume that God is for whatever you're for and that he's in whatever you're in. In other words, following your own imaginations is really remaking God in your own image. It is just assuming that God is a kind of projection of your own preferences, your own prejudices, and your own desires. And God says, when people basically imagine me to be a projection of themselves, which of course is the worst idolatry, God says that offends me. It continually provokes me. Notice that word in verse 2, to my face. Here's number three. I'm going to call it ritualistic religion. Look at verse 3, where God speaks about a religion that is about offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick. Now, this is all about ritual. You might expect that God would be very impressed with people who are always offering sacrifices and always burning incense, but rituals don't change lives. And a religion that is simply about rituals is ultimately empty. And God says, that's the kind of thing that provokes me. Number four, I'm going to call dark religion, and it expresses itself in many forms. But I want you to notice verse 4 that pinpoints it very clearly. God speaks about those who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil. Now, there is a brand of religion that is very dark and is intensely interested in the dead and in contacting the spirits of dead people who are no longer with us. And in the scripture, the God of the Bible prohibits that absolutely. And it's right here in Isaiah and chapter 65 and verse 4. And God says, that whole world offends me. So don't go near it. Fifth, rebellious religion. Notice verse 4. Here he speaks about religious people who eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold broth of unclean meat. Now remember that according to the Apostle Paul, these words are directed to Israel. And in the Old Testament, God's people Israel were given specific laws that marked their special relationship with him. Food laws were included that were appropriate to the Old Testament time before our Lord Jesus Christ came. So for a person in Old Testament Israel to eat the flesh of pigs, which, as is well known, were prohibited to Old Testament Israel, and the broth of unclean meat, for a Jewish person to do that is simply open rebellion against the Old Testament commandment of God that had been given at that time. So here's a person who's saying, you know, whatever God's commanded, I'm going to do the opposite. And there are folks like that. And it's a kind of form of religion. It is, I will be my own God. I will determine my own way. And if God says no, that is the very thing to which I will say yes. And God says, that offends me. That is like smoke in my nostrils. Here's number six, the last in the list, and perhaps the most subtle, and perhaps one of which many of us may feel we're in the most immediate danger. I'm calling it arrogant religion. And you see it right there in verse 5. God speaks, last in the list, about those who say, keep away, don't come near me, because I am too sacred for you. What a marvelous description of a religious person who is unbearably proud, looks down on other person. I'm holier than you. And God is saying this. He says, if your religion makes you proud, if your religion makes you feel morally superior to other people that you work beside or live beside or whatever else, you need to know that that religion provokes me, defends me. It's like smoke in my nostrils when I see religious people who think that they are better than anybody else. Because, of course, the gospel has the opposite effect. It brings me to the place of saying, I am a sinner who needs a Savior, Jesus Christ, and it cost his blood that I might be forgiven. Isn't it interesting? Look at verse 5 as a whole right there. It's almost as if the arrogant religion is the most offensive of them all as God goes through this list. The folks who say, keep away, don't come near me because I'm too sacred for you, such people are smoke in my nostrils. Now, this is profoundly helpful. It's very, very important for us to understand this, especially in a culture that thinks that all religion's good, you know, and as long as a person's sincere and so forth and so on. The Bible is making it clear to us, God directly speaking through the prophet Isaiah tells us that religion is a mixed bag and much of it offends God. And God is especially offended by religion that is hypocritical, that is talking the talk but not walking the walk, personalized, that is a projection of our own preferences, prejudices, and desires, ritualistic, that is primarily about rites and disciplines that don't change lives, dark, that is seeking communication with the spirits of the dead, rebellious, that is pursuing what God has told us to forsake, and arrogant, which is religion that makes us feel superior to other people. God says that stuff provokes me continually to my face. Now, I hope that if you've been burned by religion and you're still feeling the bruise of that, you can take this in, and that perhaps even today you will say, this is God reaching out to me. I'm finding actually that God is looking for something that is true and authentic, and it's that he wants to draw you into. Do you know, religion can be a strange place for hiding from God. I want to challenge us about that this weekend. Is it possible even for some of us, you know, we come to the service, we're glad to be part of the church, and we're connected to some other people. Religion, even an evangelical church, can be a safe place, it seems, for hiding from God. And God knows those who are hiding from him in church. I was thinking about this, just remembering, it's years ago now, but when I was in seminary, one summer we went out for a mission, a whole group of us students, we'd been invited by a small church in a small borders town in Scotland, and there were just two churches there. One was St. Mark's, which was the church that had invited us, and the other was simply known as the parish. And because the town was fairly small, it was possible for us to set and fulfill the objective of visiting, knocking on the door of every home in the town. So the first morning, off we go in our twos. I remember it so vividly, climbing up a fairly steep hill. It's the borders of Scotland, after all. And I decided we'll start at the top end of the hill and work down rather than the bottom end of the hill and work up. And we got to the first house, knocked on the door, and we had our line and our pitch kind of ready. And I said, you know, we're students, and we're here for a week of mission at the invitation of St. Mark's Church. And we're here just to talk to people in this town about Jesus Christ. And you know what she said to me? She was a very well-educated and obviously dignified lady and well-to-do. And she said, oh, I'm not interested in that, she said. I belong to the parish church. And you know, if I'd heard it once, I perhaps would have forgotten it. I heard that 100 times that week, at least. It's possible to get yourself into church world and completely miss Jesus Christ. And the God of the Bible, who seeks people who don't know him, is also very concerned to find people who claim to know him.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Restore People, part of a larger 9-part series, Restore My Soul. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free. You're going to find it at your app store, and you'll find both this weekend broadcast as well as our daily radio program on there, our daily devotional, and a lot more. Again, you'll find the app for free at your app store. You'll find all of this and much more at our website. Just come to openthebible.org. Well, if you joined us a little bit late, we're in the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, as we continue our message, Restore People. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
Now, I want us to see this very clearly here. It's a wonderful thing how God deals with this mixed bag of religion. Because here we're in this situation where truth and falsehood, light and darkness in this world is all mixed up together in religion. What is God going to do about it? Well, I want you to see that the same God who seeks those who don't know him also sorts out those who claim to know him. And you'll see that in verse 8 particularly. This is what the Lord says. And God uses a very vivid picture to help us understand what he's going to do about the mixed bag of religion. He says, as when juice is found in a cluster of grapes, and men say, don't destroy it, for yet there is good in it, so God says, will I do on behalf of my servants, I will not destroy them all. So God is saying, you know, think of religion as a bunch of grapes, and some of them are bad. but some of them are good. And what God is saying is that he will sort out, he will distinguish, he will separate, and he won't throw them all away. He will sort out the good from the bad. God says quite clearly, this is what I'm going to do about the whole religious world. I'm going to sort it out. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in the New Testament that God will bring all people one day to account. That includes secular people who don't know him and religious people who claim to know him. And on that day, Jesus said, among the religious people, there will be some people who say, Lord, this is what we've done for you. And they'll want to come up with a long list of everything that they think that they have done for God. And to some, our Lord says, he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. So this is another window into the heart of God. The God of the Bible seeks out those who don't know him. He sorts out those who claim to know him. The good grapes from the bad. Now, here's the conclusion I've drawn from pondering this over these last days. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter too much whether we start off as secular people who don't know God or religious people who claim to know God. Either way, all of us need God's saving intervention in our lives. And Paul takes up that theme again in the New Testament. In Romans in chapter 3 and verse 9, he puts it like this. He says, Jews and Gentiles are all alike under sin. And think about that. Jews, that is the religious people who claim to know God, and Gentiles, that is the secular people who do not know God. And Paul says, you know, God blasts across that distinction between these two groups, because all alike are under sin, and all alike stand in need of one Savior, Jesus Christ, who has come to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. Now, we took a moment just to look at what God says to those who ignore him and those who don't seek him. I want you to see just in these last moments what God says to those who provoke him. What does God have to say to false religion, arrogance, darkness? You see, again, you might expect that God would say, you know, there are some religious people and they claim to know me, but actually they give me a bad name in the world, and so I repudiate them. There are some folks who have formed darkened kinds of religion, and what does light have to do with darkness? I have no interest in them. I disassociate myself from them. I want nothing to do with them. But that's not the God of the Bible. Look at what he does say in verse 2. All day long, I have held out my hands to an obstinate people. Think about this. God is speaking about those who walk in ways that are not good, who follow gods of their own imagination, pursue darkness, go into open rebellion, look down on others with intolerable pride. What does God say? He says, well, this is like smoke in my nostrils, but all day long I hold out my hands to these obstinate people. You wouldn't have expected that, would you? Unless and until you get to know the amazing God of the Bible. See, this is grace. God seeks those who ignore him, and he saves those who provoke him. And you say, how does God do that? How would he seek people who have no knowledge of him? How would he bring them into a knowledge of himself? How would he save people who have provoked him and offended him and are like smoke in his nostrils? See, that is why Jesus Christ came into the world, isn't it? To seek and to save that which is lost. John describes it this way: the Word became flesh. That is, God became man. The God you can't see became the person that men and women did see in Jesus Christ, so that God makes himself known to those who otherwise would not have a hope in the world of ever finding him. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, has made him known. so that Jesus says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God seeks, in the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how does he save people who've provoked him? You see, this is why Jesus not only came, this is why Jesus died. Think about this. Brutal men face to face with God in the flesh. And they struck him on the head and they spat in his face. And then they nail him to a cross. And he says, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. See, that's grace. That's how the amazing God of the Bible seeks and saves folks who don't know him, aren't looking for him to do anything in their lives, have got into a kind of hiding from him even in religion. He reaches out to you and me, he says, picture Jesus on the cross. Now hear these words of God through Isaiah again. All day long, I hold out my hands to this obstinate people. That's the God of the Bible. And when you discover who he really is, you will want to know him, turn to him, trust him, and follow him.
What an amazing God we have. A God who seeks people who ignore him, and a God who saves people who provoke him. And maybe you've got a friend, a family member, someone who's far from God, someone who's not seeking God, someone who's ignoring him, someone who's provoking him. What a great reason for us to continue to be praying for them, because there is hope for anyone who is far from God. We're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message is called Restore People, part of a 9-part series called Restore My Soul, also looking at how God restores joy and repentance, justice, hope, and prayer. Well, if you want to get a copy of this series for yourself, you can ask about Restore My Soul when you contact us. Our toll-free number is 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. It is your generosity that keeps Pastor Colin's teaching on this station and makes the podcast and other things available. But as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you the Heaven Bundle as our thanks. Now, the Heaven Bundle includes a book called Heaven from Randy Alcorn, Pastor Colin's book, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, and then 5 copies of the booklet, How Can I Be Sure About Heaven? And Colin, why are we sending 5 copies of this booklet?
Well, because this is something to give away. A little booklet, again, based on the wonderful story of the thief on the cross, and just capturing what it was that this man did. He turned to Jesus. He asked Jesus to save him, and he trusted the promise that Jesus gave him. So these 3 simple words, turn and ask and trust, are at the heart of this booklet that's all about Jesus and how he saves us, illustrated through the story of the thief on the cross. It's a booklet that you could give away to someone very easily, just a few pages, but it will give them the heart of the gospel and a simple presentation of how to respond to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we want to send you these 5 copies of the booklet, as well as Pastor Colin's book, Heaven, How I Got Here, and Randy Alcorn's book, entitled Heaven. It's all part of the Heaven Bundle. Our thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org. You can also call 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Or give online at openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening. And I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. If you want to elevate a church's worship, ask about its commitment to missions. Discover why next time on Open the Bible Weekend.